Hello and welcome to Under the Dome, the News and Observer's political podcast. This is Will Doran, and I'm going to be your tour guide this week for what is coming up in North Carolina politics. So let's dive right into it. This week is going to be a little truncated due to the Labor Day holiday, but that doesn't mean we don't have some pretty interesting stuff coming up. The big thing, you've got redistricting public hearings. Those are starting up all around the state, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more in a second about how you can get involved there. We are also seeing some continued pushes in places around the state to try to figure out how to get people vaccinated. At jobs and at schools, vaccine mandates are starting to get talked about more if they aren't already in place. There are more people hospitalized with COVID right now than at any other point in the pandemic, the NNO reported last week, which is just a pretty stunning statistic. And 90% of those people are unvaccinated. So we know the vaccines work, but we also know that not enough people are vaccinated. And with ICUs increasingly overwhelmed here and throughout much of the rest of the country, due to this new wave of the Delta variant, we should definitely expect to see some headlines about what hospitals or big employers or the UNC system are doing or not doing on vaccines. We've also got some ongoing political court battles to watch, like the fight over whether people should be able to vote once they get out of prison or if they should have to finish probation or parole first. That's kind of the latest front in the voting rights battle here in North Carolina. I've been writing about that a little bit. My colleague Danielle Battaglia has also jumped in. That affects around 55,000 people, which really is not that many in the grand scheme of things. However, we are such a close swing state here in North Carolina that 55,000 is enough to flip some close races. I mean, you know, we've seen governor's races come down to less than that. We've seen Supreme Court justice race in 2020 come down to just 400 votes. So there was a development in that case last Friday, a big win actually for the Republican lawmakers who had initially lost at trial. But we could see more developments in that this week. So I will tell you a little bit more about what we are expecting there. And of course, in national news, the big story has been the huge win for Republicans in Texas. The United States Supreme Court declined to stop a new abortion ban there that, according to all prior court precedent, seems to pretty clearly be a violation of Roe versus Wade. The judges didn't overturn Roe v. Wade, but liberals who are angry with that decision have said that there's not much difference between actually overturning it versus just declining to enforce it. So we're going to have some stories coming up about the implications of that here in North Carolina, both for what the state legislature might do and also how it might affect the 2020 U.S. race, the 2020 U.S. Senate race that is going to bring tons of national attention here. Before I get into all that, though, let's go back up to the top and talk about redistricting for a second. Obviously, as people who follow politics know, the legislature here is in charge of drawing their own political districts for the next decade, as well as the maps for the state's 14 districts for seats in the United States House of Representatives. We obviously don't know yet what those maps will look like. That process is going to start up this fall. But we do know that there are going to be some fairly major changes. The new census data that they are legally required to use when drawing those maps shows that our rural areas in the state were largely stagnant and some even shrank in the last decade. But the state had massive growth even despite that, which tells you that all of that growth was concentrated in the cities and the suburbs, and really particularly in Raleigh and Charlotte, kind of a case of the rich getting richer. So there's a pretty good chance that whatever district you live in right now, for whether it's the North Carolina House, the North Carolina Senate, or for Congress, and whether that's urban, suburban, or rural, it'll probably look different in the near future. Going forward, for the maps they are drawing now will be used from the 2022 elections all the way through the 2030 elections, as long as they don't get struck down in court before then. So with that process really kicking off right now, if you want to tell lawmakers about what you expect to see in your new district, there are public hearings that start this week and continue throughout the month. They are going to be held all around the state. Republican lawmakers and Democratic lawmakers joined together to pass that recently, the locations, the schedules. And so if you want to go to one of those, you can talk about the process and rules that you want to see. You can talk about the local communities, in your area that you think should or shouldn't be kept together. You can tell lawmakers whatever other thoughts you have. I mean, that's the point of a public hearing, is to hear from the public. So the first of those hearings is on Wednesday. It is out west in Lenore in Caldwell County. There are 12 more scheduled over the coming weeks. Like I said, they go through September 30th. And those are going to be in bigger cities like Winston-Salem and Durham, also smaller places and medium-sized places like Greenville, Wilmington, Rocky Mount, Cullowhee, Elizabeth City. They're really all over the place geographically. I've got an article up at the News and Observer website if you want to go find that for the full list of times and locations for those hearings. People who can't make one of those public hearings can also go online if they want to the legislature's website, which is NCLEG.gov. And there you can leave a written comment about redistricting. So when you go to that website, you'll see on the homepage, there's a big field on the left-hand side that says redistricting. And there's more there's more information on redistricting there. Staying in the realm of elections for just another couple of seconds, we saw the big legal win Friday for Republican lawmakers that I teased in the intro. They had successfully convinced the Court of Appeals here in North Carolina to block a trial court ruling from a couple weeks ago in favor of expanded voting rights for people with felony records while the lawmakers are appealing that ruling. So what that means, in essence, is that if the appeal drags on for a few years, which given the often slow state of the legal system is entirely possible, then people who are on probation or parole could continue being banned from voting in the 2022 or even the 2024 elections, even despite that court ruling last month that said that they should be able to vote. This is called a stay. It's fairly common in the legal world. You know, just it's judges saying, you know, hey, we realize that, you know, there could be some decent arguments to be made here by the people who originally lost and are now appealing. So we're just going to put that ruling on hold while that appeal goes through. But the challengers who won that lawsuit obviously are not happy. They believe that they made good arguments and will win on appeal again. And so what they have done is asked the state Supreme Court to undo the Court of Appeals decision and put the original ruling back into place. Basically, they want a stay to stop the stay. So stay tuned on that ruling from the Supreme Court, which might come down this week. Like we said, they filed it, but obviously, you know, we'll have to wait and see when the Supreme Court actually rules on that and what they have to say. And that's the state Supreme Court. As I said, there's also the U.S. Supreme Court has been in the rules too, in the news with abortion. And like I said a few minutes ago, they did not overturn Roe v. Wade. But they did decline to stop this Texas law that bans abortions after 6 weeks, among doing lots of other things. But that six-week limit is clearly against established legal precedent. Even bans at 20 weeks, let alone six, have routinely been overturned as unconstitutional. That happened here in North Carolina. Republican lawmakers passed a 20-week ban here several years ago, but a federal judge, who was a Republican appointed by George W. Bush, said that that was unconstitutional. His ruling came down in 2019, and then the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, the federal appeals court for our part of the country, upheld that ruling earlier this summer. And I remember reporting back in 2019 that with that original ruling that no 20-week ban anywhere in the U.S. had ever been upheld. The judge in that ruling cited half a dozen states that had all tried 20-week bans and had all had them shut down already. So he said in his ruling striking down the North Carolina law, he was just following, you know, clearly established precedent from all over the country. But now we have a 6-3 conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. And if Texas is able to implement its 6-week ban under that new majority, could we see a new rush in North Carolina to pass similar rules, even though we had our 20-week ban shot down? We are going to have a story out this week looking into the implications and possibilities of all of that here, so keep your eyes peeled for that. My colleague Lucille Sherman, who y'all hear frequently on this podcast, is working on that story, and our colleague Brian Murphy, who is recently our DC reporter and is now transitioning into a new job leading the NC Insider Service, he is working on one of his final DC-centric stories that's going to be focused on that Texas abortion case and how it might affect the state of play in North Carolina's 2022 U.S. Census race. Our races in 2014, 2016, and 2020 have been among the most expensive in the country, really competitive, tons of ads, tons at stake, since we are such a close swing state here with potential frequently to also swing control of the Senate. I mean, people saw that in 2020. The Senate is currently tied 50-50 after Tom Tillis managed to win his reelection race in 2020. But if he had lost, then Democrats would have the 51-49 majority there. So, you know, North Carolina is a key race for, you know, really national politics, and which side gets to decide, you know, what kind of policies we're going to be putting in place nationally. So the question is, with this Texas ruling just really riling up Democrats and also, you know, really riling up Republicans, there's a lot of people who have spent their lives fighting for overturning Roe v. Wade, for pro-life causes. You know, I mean, both sides on this are really involved, really emotional. And so we're going to see, you know, is abortion about to become a key issue in that race? People had thought maybe that's already settled. It was going to focus on other things. But now this Texas case has really brought it back to the forefront. And the question really is that Texas ruling, even though it's something that Republicans have been fighting for, could that end up energizing Democrats even more than Republicans? If it stands, you know, there's just all these kind of interesting questions about the fallout and the future implications of that. So we're going to have that coming, and keep your eyes peeled for that and for more. And until next time, this has been Will Doran from the News and Observer. And I am asking you, as always, please, please, please send us your tips, your story ideas, your feedback, anything else to dome@newsobserver.com. That is our Under the Dome list, and that goes to all of us political reporters and editors at the NNO here. So that is dome@newsobserver.com. And thank you for listening.
For more from our politics team, subscribe to the News and Observer at newsobserver.com/subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Under the Dome and NC Insider, and sign up for our weekly political newsletter at newsobserver.com/newsletters. Thanks for listening.